Radio Prague News.
A Czech national suspected of wanting to join Islamic State militants has been charged with planning terror. Tightened security measures remain in place around the country, and police have released a photo fit of Kvitová's assailant. A Czech national suspected of wanting to join Islamic State militants has been charged with planning a terrorist attack, Czech radio reported on Thursday. If convicted, he would face a 12 to 20 year sentence or even life imprisonment. The man was arrested at Istanbul Airport during a transfer to Gaziantep, a town located on the Turkish-Syrian border, where IS recruits are known to gather before being sent into action in Syria. The man reportedly admitted to wanting to join IS and even spoke about being ready to conduct executions on selected individuals. Psychologists confirmed that the man is sane and fully responsible for his actions, enabling the state attorney to press charges. Meanwhile, tightened security measures in the Czech Republic introduced in the wake of Monday's terrorist attack in Berlin will remain in place at least until January the 2nd, according to Interior Minister Milan Chovanec. Police patrols have been reinforced around the country by around 500 officers. Barriers have appeared at selected sites such as Prague's Christmas markets and Wenceslas Square to block access to vehicles. Barriers are also up in other towns, including the Moravian metropolis Brno and the country's third and fourth largest cities, Ostrava and Pilsen. Police will also step up their presence in frequented places such as airports, shopping malls and public transport stations. Minister Chovanec estimated the cost of the measures at around 30 million crowns. The Prague metro station Ipe Pavlova on Line C was closed for over an hour on Thursday over a security scare. Police cleared out the station after a passenger reported an abandoned backpack. Trains were allowed to pass through. Explosives experts searched the backpack and found nothing suspicious. The station reopened shortly before midday. Police released a photo fit of the man who attacked Czech tennis player Petra Kvitová at her home on Tuesday. They have asked the public to help locate the assailant, who is still at large and is believed to be around 35 years of age. The two-time Wimbledon champion underwent almost 4 hours of surgery to repair cut tendons and nerves on her left hand. The injuries were sustained as Kvitová tried to defend herself. The surgeon who operated on her left hand said she would not be able to play tennis for about 6 months. Several hundred Czech Post employees have so far joined a planned strike in support of a demand for higher wages. According to a Czech Post spokeswoman, the strike has not affected services at counters, although it may delay the delivery of parcels ahead of Christmas. The chain strike is to last for an hour at each facility before moving on to the next up until midnight on Thursday. Trade unions have been pushing for a wage increase for postal workers by 2,500 crowns a month, which Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka and Interior Minister Milan Chovanec, under whose administration the state-owned company is, described as unrealistic in view of its economic results. Employees have been promised a raise of just over 500 crowns a month. The U.S. Embassy in Prague chose an original way of wishing Czechs Merry Christmas this year. It posted a video on its webpage showing embassy employees singing one of the best-loved Czech Christmas carols, Půjdem spolu do Betléma, We Will Go to Bethlehem Together, in the original. The video starts with the cultural attaché Erin Kottheimer and Ray Castillo, Counselor for Public Affairs, breaking into song and other employees joining in as they walk around the U.S. residence. At the end, Ambassador Andrew Shapiro joins them to wish Czechs a Merry Christmas on behalf of all the staff. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. Friday should be overcast around most of the country, with morning fog in places, some drizzle, and day temperatures between 1 and 5 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, top officials are trying to decipher what the upcoming Donald Trump presidency will mean. More in just a moment. The famous Prague bookstore Fisher is not closing its doors but is leaving its famous address in Kaprova Street. And a little later in the program, our reporter Dominic Yoon soaks up the Christmas atmosphere in small towns on the Czech-German border. In the wake of his surprise election, U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has been busy putting together his White House team. And most of the diplomatic world outside of the United States, the Czech Republic included, has been poring over the appointments and subsequent comments for clues they could give about Trump's future priorities and policies and what those will be once the election rhetoric is cast off. Chris Johnston has more.
Within less than a month now, Donald Trump will be sworn in as the 45th President of the United States. And whereas it would have been a largely business-as-usual scenario if his Democrat rival Hillary Clinton had been elected, the future intentions of the Republican winner are more of a puzzle to both Americans and the outside world. Trump made a lot of campaign promises, many of them contradictory. So some of the biggest clues about his real intentions stem from his top appointments as he prepares for government. Two of the Czech Republic's top foreign affairs experts, the president's foreign policy director, Hinek Kmoniček, and the former top advisor to the Minister of Foreign Affairs and recently appointed ambassador to France, Petr Drulák, took part in a conference in Prague on Wednesday night. They gave their take on the Trump victory and the course of the next presidency. Hinek Kmoniček, who's been advanced by head of state Miloš Zeman to become the next Czech ambassador in Washington, said much of Trump's focus will be on internal US affairs, but his promises to make America great are likely nonetheless to spark a clash with China.
When Donald Trump tries to change the landscape, it will in the first instance be with regard to the situation within the United States itself. But that will, of course, result in the fact that he will start to impinge on Chinese commercial interests. I believe that Donald Trump's administration will be a combination of the aggressive isolationism of Andrew Jackson together with the strategy of Richard Nixon minus Kissinger.
Jackson, the seventh president of the U.S., was prepared to take on European powers in a series of disputes, but also to forge new trade deals with them and curb their influence on the American continent. He also favored appointing businessmen rather than those high placed in the emerging party system. In foreign policy, Kmoniček said he believes that Trump could attempt to follow the Nixon-Kissinger policy in reverse. Instead of turning to China after being rebuffed by the Soviet Union, Trump could turn to the Russian Federation and Vladimir Putin in order to put pressure on Beijing. At the same time, though, there's limited room to squeeze China, which is the US's biggest lender and underwrites most of its enormous debt. And while some struggling US industries in the famous Rust Belt might be protected, it will be difficult to stop Chinese companies buying up U.S. assets. Petr Drulák said Trump's election was an expression of frustration.
I never regarded the victory of Donald Trump as especially bad news or something we should mourn. The reason is that Hillary Clinton represented the continuation of an unjust system, a system that was not sustainable and which would have deepened that frustration. For me, it is positive that someone is coming into the White House who will take a different view of these things. Whether this, in the final analysis, will be good or bad, it's not possible to say.
Drulák added that while Trump was not the establishment candidate in the election, you only have to look at his appointments of businessmen and generals to understand that these people are not revolutionaries.
Chris Johnston reporting there on the Trump election and how it's being sliced and diced here in the Czech Republic. The legendary Fischer bookstore in Kaprova Street near the Old Town Square in Prague has been selling books since the 1930s, but now it is closing down. Despite a petition with more than 3,500 signatures against its closure, the owner of the space refused to extend its lease. Dozens of fans and faithful customers gathered in the bookstore on Wednesday night to say their last goodbye. Ruth Frankova went along.
Thank you. On Wednesday night, the Fischer bookshop on Kaprova Street was packed full with people who came to say goodbye and use the final opportunity to get a book from their favourite bookseller. The store, which also became famous due to its role in the 1980s comedy Vrchni Prchni, is closing down on the 24th of December. Established back in the 1930s by publisher Josef Hocker, the bookstore acquired its legendary status in the 1960s when Bohumil Fischer took over. Under his management, it became the place where to look for books that couldn't be found in any other bookshop in the city. At that time, it also became known as U Fischera. After the Velvet Revolution, Mr. Fischer rented the store and worked there until his death in 2007. While many of the city's smaller bookshops were forced to close down in recent years due to competition from large booksellers, Fischer was never short of customers. Literary historian Martin C. Putna was one of them.
For me, it meant 25 years of my life, because I studied here in the vicinity. I was a teacher at the philosophy faculty, so practically every day I was stopping by and I knew almost all of the employees and regular customers. And so, according to my perception, metaphor, as I wish, this bookstore is not just an institution. This is, or at least it was, a being, a living being with a sort of soul.
What was it exactly that made this particular bookshop so unique?
It's hard to define it. Maybe its location in the very center of the Czech culture, between the philosophic faculty, national library, city library, practically everything is here in the vicinity, in the walking distance. And it was the central bookstore where practically all major writers presented their books. So here was a famous table of fame where dozens and dozens of writers from here and from abroad signed. So this is a bookstore that lived to see Havel and Tigrit and Robert Fuljum and practically all literary celebrities who stopped by in Prague, stopped by in this bookstore.
And finally, this closing down of this bookstore, do you think it signifies some sort of more general trend?
Well, the general trend is closing of little stores, not just bookstores, but little stores, which is very bad for the country, because what was typical for this country and for this city was this chain of little independent stores. And I'm afraid that the city is this way losing part of its atmosphere, and specifically here in Prague 1. We feel like this neighborhood has been stolen from us by the tourist agencies, and this was one of the last pieces which was still ours.
The current owners of the Fischer bookstore, Paseka Publishing House, have already found new premises in the nearby Rybná Street, but the old customers say the bookstore will never be the same again.
Ruth Frankova reporting there on an end of an era for the Fischer bookstore. And if you have ever spent any time in Prague, you probably have heard of that. If you bought a book there or have any comments, why not write to us? Tell us what you think. English@radio.cz is the address to visit. And speaking of visits, Dominic Yoon has been traveling on the Czech-German border, visiting towns ahead of Christmas.
I've just arrived in a coach from the Czech Republic with about 30 fellow passengers. We started off in Plzeň and we're now here in the tiny German village of Friedrichshain, which is just on the border with the Czech Republic. It's deep in the forest, the Bavarian forest in German, Bayerisch Wald, and the Český les in Czech. And this is an annual event which is organized by the Czech Bavarian Center, which is based in a town called Schönsee, which is a couple of kilometers from here. And today, the event to which so many Czechs have been invited, courtesy of the Cesta za kulturou, it's called Journeys to Culture, which is also organized by the center. And the event today is Advent in Wald, or Advent in the Forest, which is a kind of Christmas, early Christmas themed market. So we're now just walking through the streets of Friedrichshain. So our group is just walking now through a sort of windy track along a forest, which is sort of within this area now. That's the Advent im Wald, just outside of village of Friedrichshain, and I can hear Already some music. So I'm just at one of the many market stalls here, little sort of wooden market stalls in the Advent in the Wild, and I'm with a lady who's serving me some roasted walnuts, sweetened walnuts. So could you explain to me a little bit about what this day is about? It's a tradition here?
Yes, every year.
For how many years?
How many years? 10 years?
15 years, yes. So I'm just at the top of the hill of Friedrichshain. And the people here very kindly found me someone who speaks English. So can I ask for your name?
Thomas.
So Thomas, can you please explain this event for the Advent in the Wald?
Yeah, it's a Christian market. It's a real big family here. It's all people who help here are very kind, thankful.
From how far do people come here? From like Schoensee, from Eslan, or from even further?
Yeah, I'm here now from 130 kilometers.
Oh my goodness. Why did you come so far for this event?
I lived here 3 years.
Okay.
And I helped here 3 years, and so I know a lot of people.
And Czechs come here as well, because we're right by the Czech border. So is this a place where Czechs and Germans can try to... try to sort of talk a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit conversation.
Yes. So I've just bumped into Teresa Pechová of the Czech Bavarian Center in Schoensee, which is a couple of kilometers from here, and she is a Czech who works just across the border, and she's here at this event. So Teresa, what can you tell me about this Advent in Wald, and why does your center wants like Czechs to come here and so on?
Oh, we think it's a very important place here because it's near the border, and it is a very special atmosphere, as you can see, with many candles and many handmade products, and many Czech tourists come as well, because they also have the opportunity to come with the buses from the Czech Republic.
This is how I got here, with a group of about 25. These are called like Cesty za kulturą, right? Journeys.
Yes.
So this is several times a year.
Yes.
Your center
as well
organizes these trips.
That's true, yes.
So is this an opportunity for Czechs and Germans to interact, to become friends, or to learn about each other's cultures? What's the sort of point?
Oh, of course, because not only the visitors are Czech and German, but also the people who are selling things here, they are also from the Czech Republic and Germany as well.
Oh, so there's Czech
and
stalls here as well. Okay,
yes.
I didn't know that, because there's many stalls here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually surprised just by how many stalls. We're at the top of a hill, and all around us are like little wooden huts, and it's one stall after another. I should also say that there is snow here at the top of the hill, which is rather amazing. So that's the sort of special atmosphere. So what happens over, because this is a two-day event, right? What exactly happens?
Oh, there is also music, typical Bavarian and Czech music.
And tell me about Friedrichshain, because it's right on the border. On the other side is the former, the lost village of Blesch, Blus. So what is the history? This was a smuggling...
One of the smuggling points from, I don't know, maybe 18th, 19th century. And also, this place is famous for summer theater, mm-hmm. Open-air theater, which shows the play of smuggling, which is very, very popular here.
Tell me a bit more about the work of the Czech Bavarian Center.
We specialize in communication between these two nations, and we also organize many workshops for students, for adults, literature things. So everything.
So I'm just by one of the stalls, and I've noticed here that there are some ceramic buttons.
Ceramic buttons and earrings.
Ceramic buttons and earrings.
And enamel.
And enamel as well.
Jewelry.
Okay. Yes. All kinds of sort of different flowers and.
Yes, and animals, flowers, and some like this.
And you are, as I see here, Knopfe und Schmuck aus Pilsen. So you are Czech, right?
Yes, we are from Pilsen.
From Pilsen. So yes, because
we have our workshop at home.
So I'm with one of the... What's your name?
Okay, my name is Pavel.
Pavel. So Pavel was one of the people who who came by the coach today from Plzeň, and who's come to this event, and the coach comes and then it returns later in the evening. So, Pavel, why are you here?
We are here for the third time. And
you say we, that's like a group of friends, right?
Yes, I come here with a group, and I like this action because here it's funny, and we drink a beer, and we are going for a trip around here, and we enjoy it.
I'm with a band here that's playing Bavarian music, a brass band,
yes.
Right? And I've just I'm just in discussion with the conductor about what they might be able to play for Czech radio listeners, and we are discussing whether it should be Bavarian or Bohemian music. Yeah,
we're playing a Czech polka, Přerovanka.
Okay, Přerovanka. Mm-hmm. Okay, danke schön. Jo, vy jste Němec, jo? Oh wow. So I'm just speaking with a German who speaks Czech. So why do you speak English too? Nein.
Málo.
Málo. So jak to, proč mluvíte česky? Jak to?
Já pracuji tam.
Okay. Good. So now some Czech visitors have come to listen to the Bavarian band playing. So what I've done now is I'm just walking out of Friedrichshang and I've just crossed into the Czech Republic. So now I'm in the Czech Republic on the little path here and I'm heading towards Bleš. So I've just walked about a kilometer or a little bit over a kilometer out of Friedrichshang back into the Czech Republic. And what I see before me now is basically an empty field which used to be the village of Bleš, or Ploss in German. And this was a Sudeten German village that was basically destroyed, was basically razed to the ground by the communist border guards who placed this entire area in a sort of band, a no-go band. So pretty much from the 1948 onwards, there was no way that a normal Czech person could come here. So Friedrichshang and Bleš, whatever relationship they had, was the history that they had was basically cut off. But today, as I'm walking, there are Czechs passing me and going in the other direction. The groups of people keep coming. It's a mix of Germans and Czechs, and I've just bumped into a group of young Czechs who are here, and one of them apparently speaks English. So I wanted to ask you, why has your group come today? Where are you from and why have you come?
Hey, we are from Czech Republic, with Bohemia, near Domažlice.
Domažlice, okay. It's not too far from here.
Yeah,
quite close.
And we have been last year, and it was an amazing night. We like it here, and we spent here almost the whole night.
I should mention that the stalls here are usually bilingual, that there's a menu here in both Czech and German. For example, Bratapfel, Pečené jablko. So this particular stall is called Böhmerwald Hütte, the Bohemian Forest Hut. So I'm just having a slightly early Christmas here, early Czech Star Christmas, but somewhat different, because one of the stalls here is offering deep-fried breaded carp portions, very small portions though, not like the Czech Christmas style, but more like little slivers, so it's extra crunchy, and I must say it's rather delicious. I'm at one of the stalls here, which is sort of woodcraft stall, if I'm correct. Yes, mm-hmm. You're carving wood,
yes.
Shang, and
yes,
and
you know
flesh,
something blood. About the theatre which is played here?
Yes, up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm a part of that. That's it. We play the theatre for 10 years now.
Uh-huh. Oh, right.
And every year I'm part of it.
What kind of performance is it? Like a Christmas story or something?
No, not a Christmas story.
Something about a cow? I've heard stories about a cow
yes,
being smuggled.
There is a cow. It's a funny part of the theater. It is a history of a family who wants to learn something about the family history, and so they talk with an old man, and the man tries to explain. You buy something in Czech Republic and bring it to Germany and sell it to
yes.
earn money. It's not legal.
Smuggling.
Yeah, that's
smuggling,
it.
Yes, because this was a smuggling route, right? Hundreds of years ago, right?
That's it. And yes, this is the topic of the mm-hmm. theater. And there is a love story. And yes, the old man who explains the history has a Czech mother.
Mm-hmm.
And he... He wants to deal with it.
Right.
Yeah. He learns wow. to talk about his own history. That's it.
Can I just ask for your first name?
Miriam.
Miriam. And is the play in German and Czech, or how is it performed?
It's a German play, but the woman of the young family is a Czech woman.
Right.
And there are some Czech...
Like characters.
Yes, that's it. My older sister plays a Czech role, uh-huh, uh-huh. So she learned Czech.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, well, thank you very much.
So one of the stalls here appears to be selling this hot beer. So I'm just here to find out if it's true.
Guten Abend. Verkaufen Sie heiß Bier?
Was? Ist dunkles Bier.
Bier.
Mit Aroma, mit Gewürze. Viel Gewürze.
Gewürze.
Gewürze ist Zimt. Zucker. Zitron,
ja.
Anis. So.
Ja. Gleich Wein, aber das ist gleich die heiße Wein.
Ja, aber mit Bier, nicht Wein.
Mit Bier, ja.
Genau.
Ja, genau. Aber gleich diese heiße Wein.
Ist nicht so viel Alkohol und ist nicht süß, nicht so.
So, our bus is now filling up again. We're off back to Bazin. All the Czechs that have been to Friedrich Shang are boarding back their bus again.
I should mention that the hot beer was very tasty. It had a very unusual mix of flavours. Never had anything quite like that before. So that's it. That's the Advent in the Forest. Thank you for listening.
And some traditional brass music there, ending Dominic Yoon's report, that panorama on the Christmas atmosphere in towns on the Czech-German border. Once again, if you have any comments, english@radio.cz is the place to write to, or you can also leave your comments on Facebook or Twitter, where Radio Prague also is active. I'm Jan Wellinger. For myself and all the rest of us at Radio Prague, we want to thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.